This morning's reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, dishonest to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their ways into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Sally, very much. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask that as we look at these words, that you would be pleased to warn us so that we would be people who live wisely for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that reading slightly changed the mood, didn't it? Let's be honest about it. It's not the easiest reading we've ever heard, is it? And I have to say that as I prepared, I realized that we're treading on ground that is really important, but is not the stuff that you're sort of going to go, wow, that was really encouraging and wonderful. Well, I hope you will, but it's not easily got there at first glance. But please do hang in there. I'd like to transport you back in time to 1661, to the study of the then Archbishop of Canterbury, a guy called Thomas Cranmer. He is in the process of writing the definitive doctrine of the Church of England, the doctrine it still holds to. Its working title was the 27 Articles, although by the time he'd finished it, he'd got up to 39 Articles. As you peer over his shoulder, you see he's working on Article 26. You think, what amazing view of God will it give you? What exciting thing will it tell you? This is what you read. Although in the visible church the evil be ever mingled with the good, and sometimes the evil will have chief authority in the ministration of the words and the sacraments. So what Cranmer is saying at this point is, in the church, the visible church, you and I sitting here this morning in the visible church, there will be times when evil will out. And there will always be times when evil is mingled with good. That is the normal position of the church. We must not think of it as an exceptional place. Why mustn't we do that? Because it's the way that God sees the church. Notice, when we get to verse 5 of our reading, and by the way, he does then go on for a bit and then say, we must act against those who are evil ministers. When we get to our reading, notice that verse 5 says, having a form of godliness. So these people, the people he has in mind in verses 1 to 4, are in the church. They are not out there. They are in here. They are people who minister in the church. Well, hold on a minute. That's a bit shocking. We probably, when we heard the reading, thought, oh, that's them out there. But actually, Paul is continuing to address the fact that Timothy and we live in, will live in a church, a denomination that will always be mixed, because the visible church always is. So the first thing he tells us in verse 1 is, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Paul is understanding that between Jesus's ascension to heaven and his return, that's what the Bible calls the last days, in that time there will be terrible times. That means there will be times that aren't terrible, that's the good news. But the point he's making is there will be terrible times when in the church it feels to us that evil has won out. It feels to us that people who do not want what God wants seem to have too big a say. Paul wants to emphasize for us that the opposition to the truth of the gospel, to the truth the Bible teaches, is not a passing fad, but a permanent reality. It seems that Paul is slightly worried that Timothy might be over-optimistic, that if he lies low for a bit, perhaps all the opposition will cease. But Paul will not have that. Now, that doesn't mean, as I said, the situation is continuously evil and as bad as it can be. But it means there will be times when it's extra difficult. I used to go and visit a missionary friend in Belgium, and one day we were coming back, and we were coming back on the Dover-Calais ferry, and we came out of Calais, and it was lovely and calm, and we came on the coast, and it wasn't too bad. And then as we turned, the captain of the boat said, "I'm really sorry, it's really rough out here." Within 10 minutes, people were throwing up all over the place. It was horrible. Anne and I were fine till we looked at the horizon and saw it doing this and thought, we won't look there again. When we got back into Dover, it was smooth again. Whoever knew that Dover was going to be so attractive? But there we go. Sorry, that's very rude towards Dover. But it was just so smooth. Paul has in mind here that there'll be times when it's easy, but there'll be times when it's really difficult. And so he's preparing Timothy and us for those times, for those difficult times when the visible church seems to be running away from the Word of God. And he first of all tells us that these people are both despicable and morally corrupt and religiously bankrupt. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's quite a description, isn't it? We don't expect it to be quite that bad, do we? But Paul knows that people, even those who lead the church, can be dangerous. They can masquerade as being people of godly intent, but actually they're not. When I first became a clergy person, I was ordained deacon and priest by a bishop. That bishop in later years was found to be the center of a paedophile ring within the church. He is now in prison. He had raised to that position of authority because people hadn't seen what he was about. Why? Because he managed to mask it. He managed to hide it. So if we think that this is just fantasy land, we are in fantasy land. People have abused their position of trust I don't know whether you saw the recent report into the Catholic Church in France. What the numbers that it had published had been abused were shockingly horrendous. If you and I think that Paul is over the top here, just read your newspapers, folks. Paul is telling us this not so that we lose heart, but so that we grow to be sensible in thinking about who we are listening to. And the problem about these folks, because they have a form of godliness, it doesn't mean it's easy to find them, to see them. You know, we'd love it, wouldn't we, if everybody who was in that state had two horns and we could go, oh, you're one of them. Wouldn't that be great? But it isn't what it's like. Paul says they have a form of godliness but deny its power. Paul, you see, wants us to understand so that we won't be led astray. So we won't be surprised and lose faith when these things hit the press. I don't know about you. I hope, like me, you rightly groan when these things come on the press. Because to be perfectly honest, whichever denomination it has happened in, we all lose. I hope you groan when you hear these things. Paul is warning us so that we won't lose heart if the church seems to go, the visible church, seems to go off track. And we've seen that through the scriptures. We see it in the Bible. We see the Pharisees who had that outward show of godliness, but actually, Jesus says, you hypocrites, it was show. And in case we think it's just one particular group, I know of a church not very far away from here, within 30 miles, where they had a brilliant worship leader who the congregation felt led them into the very presence of God until he ran off with another man's wife. And they found there were a whole load of things that they hadn't known about before. You and I must be those who understand what the visible church is like, that evil is mingled with the good, so that we will have our antenna up. That's why I always love it when people come and say to me, well, that would be unfair. I don't always love it. I try to always love it. When people come and say to me, did you teach that right, Anthony? Well, when you did that, Anthony, that wasn't quite right, was it? That's why I only always like, sometimes like it, because that's not so easy sometimes. But that whole thing, actually, that we want folks who are not lovers of themselves, but are lovers of God and his ways. And if these people are morally compromised, they also teach error. They are the kind who worm their ways into homes and gain control over gullible women. Now, just before we get into a real problem, Paul is not saying every woman is gullible. But the first place that most places who would have greeted at the door would have been the women. That was part of the culture. Who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Notice that these folks are committed to the task. The phrase worm their way into their home shows they're devious. They want to get in. They want to make sure that others believe their errors. And they know that there are folks who are easier to reach, both male and female, those who are swamped by guilt, those who are never quite sure that they can say, well, that's true and that's not. Paul knows that these folks want to bring people into their error. They are those who are committed to that. It is true and without doubt that those who want to undermine the Bible's view on Jesus or on morality or on who goes to heaven are often very committed to communicating their error. And that shows, verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. Jannes and Jambres were the magicians in Pharaoh's court who opposed Moses. And they opposed the truth again and again. But notice here, as Paul says this, he's making two claims. He's making that these false teachers are not on the side of God, yes, but he's also saying that when they oppose Paul's teaching, it's like they are that like Jannes and Jambres were opposing Moses. So he's saying, look, both my teaching and Moses' teaching are both the truth, that you cannot pick and choose. You can't go, I'll have that bit, but I won't have that bit. That we have to sit humbly under the word of God, not over it. Now, at this time in the 9 o'clock service, I dropped the Bible and threw it on the floor, which was slightly unfortunate, as I was trying to say I was sitting under it, and I threw it away. So, I'm not going to do that at 11 o'clock, okay? So, we need to be those who recognize that when people oppose the plain teaching of Scripture, they are opposing and rejecting God's word. They are wrong. They are like Jannes and Jambres. They are like those teachers who opposed the truth in Paul and Timothy's day. They are to be rejected. That we are to have nothing to do with them. One day I was going to pick up a new Bible. Mine had fallen apart, and I didn't have much time, so I rushed into a shop, picked up a Bible, saw it was the New International Version, and thought, oh, that'll do, and picked it up. Those who know me well know I have a pet hate. The pet hate is a Bible that has put Jesus' words in red as if they're more important. As I opened this Bible, I went, no! Because that was the very thing that it had done. This is God's word. None of it is more important than the other. It is all to be taught. And if any of it is opposed by anyone, they are to be rejected. Now, that doesn't mean we'll all agree on everything. That would be really lovely, wouldn't it? There are times when there are legitimate disagreements about what the Scriptures teaches, and there are times when the Bible doesn't teach about something because it doesn't. But when it does teach clearly, which is in 99% of the times, you and I must hold on to it. Jesus is the only way to the Father. There is no doubt about that. Heaven is only open to those who trust in him. There is an objective right and wrong. So today, Paul wants, because he is a pastor, that we won't lose our faith if we see in the visible church error and evil. We will see it. It's there. It's always been there. But that should not cause us to lose our faith. it should mean we redouble our efforts to pray for those people, that they will see the errors of their ways and will not lead anybody else astray. There was a particular bishop in the Church of England who denied a cardinal truth of the gospel, that Jesus rose again. And I remember listening to a phone-in because it was big news. And I remember somebody phoning in, and the question was, how should we respond? And I remember her answer today, 20 years, 30 years on. We should pray for him, because he's in such great danger. If we're going to take Paul's teaching seriously, we will make sure that we're listening to right-minded people who teach the truth. But we will pray for those in the church who aren't doing that, who are teaching error, and pray that God would rescue them from the error of their ways. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, sometimes your word is full of words that we just love to hear, but sometimes your word is full of warnings that we need to heed, but aren't instantly attractive. Father, thank you that we've reminded ourselves earlier in our service that you are good. And one of the good things you do is warn us of the dangers we might face. So we pray, Father, that in your mercy we would heed the warnings, not listen to those who would teach error, but pray for them, that they would realize the error of their ways and turn back to you. And help us at Christ Church St. Andrews, in all the places that we teach your word, always to sit under its authority, teaching what it says. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.